I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can reach me on my personal Twitter, which is @_JamesVickers. And you can also follow us at the show at Championship Pod.
Hello, my name is Louis Shackshaft. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I do a lot of writing, blogging, Sheffield Wednesday statistics. You can catch me on Twitter. It's just my name, @LouisShackshaft, or visit louisshackshaft.com.
Hiya, I'm Lewis Hobbs, and I represent Sheffield United on the podcast, and you can follow me on Twitter @_LH9_.
Hi, I'm Andy Buckley-Taylor, representing Derby County on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter @BuckTaylor64, and I'm also a blogger on the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. We'll start with the main game on Friday night, which was the Sheffield Derby. Obviously, Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday represented today on the podcast. We'll start with you first, Lewis, with the game being at Sheffield United. Sort of talk us through sort of how the game went from your perspective and what was sort of the build-up to it like. Obviously, at the start of the season, I think many people would have fancied Sheffield Wednesday to be higher in the league than United. So was it a bit of a weird one going into the game, sort of with the pressure on Sheffield Wednesday and not sort of on you as much?
Well, yeah, it's definitely been a weird one because obviously for the past 6 years, Sheffield Wednesday have kind of been running Sheffield, and we've been in the depths of League One, and we haven't really been able to match their performances while they've been challenging to try and get into the Premiership. But obviously, we've finally got back up into the second tier, and we've had a really good start to the season. Whilst Sheffield Wednesday obviously haven't, so we've gone into the match as favourites. So it's really weird, and it's put us in a really good spot because you're going in, you don't really have any fears because everyone's expecting you to win the game. All the pundits are saying, right, yep, it's going to be a goal scoring run, we're going to batter him. But obviously, that didn't happen. Wednesday just got the new boss. Really don't want to butcher the name, but I'm going to say Luikai. He obviously did his homework. And I think when the game came in a perfect time for a new boss to join Wednesday, because with a new boss, there's no way for a manager to really prepare for the game. You can obviously look at past how they've run teams in the past, but I'm sure looking back at previous teams that Luikai has managed, he's favoured a 4-3-3 and a 4-4-2. He's never actually gone with a 5 at the back. So obviously he went into the game, countered us using our 5 at the back formation as it is, and it worked to a T. He really cancelled out our attack, and Mark Duffy, our main man as it is this year, the creative maestro, he stuck David Jones on him all the game, took him completely out of the game, and we struggled to get going through the full game. And yeah, Sheffield Wednesday didn't create chances to scare us throughout. They had a few pivotal chances where, like the Adam Reach volley nearer to the end of the game, which Simon Moore got a fantastic save. But we wasn't threatened, but then we struggled to threaten Wednesday as well. And I kind of see it myself as Wilder might have actually got it wrong. For one of the first times this season, he actually went into a game with the wrong tactic. Because I think, obviously, we've been on quite a bad run of form, only winning one in the last 9 before the game. Obviously, now it's 1 winning 10. Our system has been so effective for the past year and a half. And Wilder's a really honest manager. And I think it might have to be time what we do change up and we do spice things up. Maybe go back to the four at the back, because as we saw in that game, it just seems that teams now, they've found out that five at the back, and it seems that we're very easy now to defend against, hit on the counter attack, and scrap nil nils, one nils, two ones, and I think that's how it went down. Again, a very strange one for me was not involving Billy Sharp in the game at all. So the game earlier in the season, he was unfit, but he did make the bench by the fact that we only had one striker fit in Leon Clark, and Billy Sharp was working way to fitness. So he managed to kind of get match fit, but he didn't make an appearance in that game. Obviously, being the captain, the boy had played. He had to get into the game because he would have been what the person at the 70th minute to spur on the team, push us forward and maybe get a goal. And there was quite a few chances where Ender Stevens and George Baldock came in from fullback, put a dangerous ball into the box, and there was no striker or there was no one in the box to bury those chances. And Billy Sharp might not be a lot of things. He might not be the most technical footballer, but his attacking positioning in the Championship is one of the best. And those type of positions, he buries them. So I think it was very weird not introducing him to the game. And I've got to also add, like, David Brooks, how much did we miss him in the game? If you compare this game to earlier in the season, David Brooks absolutely ran the show. He's the only player in our team currently that is able to pick up the ball, run at defenders and absolutely scare the living life out of defenders. And we don't really have anyone like that to bring off the bench, to actually bring life in. So I think he was definitely missed, and hopefully he'll be back for the next game and inevitably doesn't go to Liverpool or Everton where he's rumoured. So yeah, it's a bad result for our perspective. If you look at it as any other game, a 0-0 against a team in the bottom half the table, we should be winning. But if you look at it as a derby, which it is, and I can't look at it any other match, I think it's the Steel City derby. It doesn't matter whether we're first in the league and Wednesday 24th, vice versa. It's the biggest game of the season, any season, no matter what. So a 0-0 is a good result, because you just need to go into derbies just not getting battered. So coming out of the derby, not getting battered and getting a decent result, we could have played a lot better, we should have scored goals, but I'm not too distraught with the result. And obviously, somehow we've managed to sneak up a place into sixth with the point, with Brentford, Leeds, fourth losing behind us. So we're in good stead to finish in the playoffs still. The result hasn't entirely broke us, but yeah, it could have been better.
Yeah, so that's Lewis's sort of perspective on the game. We've also got, obviously, Louis on today, Sheffield Wednesday fan. How did you see the game sort of from your point of view? And do you sort of agree with Lewis's assessment, or is there anything you'd sort of add to that?
There's definitely things I can add, but I think Lewis has summed it up very well. You know, it's like he says, it's a derby game. The biggest thing from a Wednesday perspective is we didn't want another battering like we lost, obviously, 4-2 last time at Hillsborough. That was the main thing. We didn't want to lose twice this season to the Blades. And before the game, it was just so difficult to predict a scoreline or even the formation or the players he was going to pick, because obviously, like Lewis mentioned, and he did get his name correct, I believe, it's Jos Luque, so it's a silent H, if you like. But it was his first game in charge. Like he mentioned, Lewis there, he set up in a 5-3-2 formation with potential to go 3-5-2 also. But we have got 9 players out, and that's not an excuse by all means. We've got, it's 11 versus 11 at the end of the day. But with our 9 of our better players out, I think that's why he's set up with 5 at the back, obviously, in hope to keep a clean sheet. And that's what we've achieved. And that was the biggest plaudits from a Wednesday fan is that we have managed to keep a clean sheet and, you know, and not lose the game. I think with it being a derby game, that's the biggest thing for us. Before the game, we simply just did not want to lose. Whereas, obviously, Lewis has discussed, they wanted to go and get the 3 points. A point is more pleasing from a Wednesday fan's perspective. As the game developed, as we know, I believe Sheffield United, they were on top for the first 30 minutes and then they seemed to pipe down a little. It was pretty even for the next 40, 50 minutes or so until the sending off, really. After Lewin's got sent off, I thought we may have fell apart and United would have gone on to win the game. And you know, they did have the better opportunities. But at the same time, from my perspective, it was really good to see Wednesday put in a bit of fight and have some structure to the game. They had a bit of grit, determination. Each player seemed to understand their job role. And they certainly worked as a team. The concerning thing is we've not scored again. I think that's 4 games now where we've not managed to score a goal. But at the same time, in this game, in the derby on Friday night, the ultimate just not to get beat. Luque's obviously come in and he's had all week to prepare for the game. And, you know, his first game in charge, we're in obviously a transitional period now. I'm very happy with a 0-0 and most of all the clean sheets. So I want to say, obviously, congratulations to Joe Wildsmith for the clean sheet because he's a young keeper, decent prospect, and he's pulled off a fantastic save from Donaldson. But other players played well who haven't been, you know, recently. Like, I thought Zhao played well. Jones kept Duffy quiet, as Lewis mentioned. And I thought Padil and Reach also had decent games. So, you know, I've got to be happy with the point. Like I mentioned, that the main aim was just not losing. So I'll certainly take a point. And then hopefully from here we can push on under the new manager.
Do you think now, sort of, between now and the end of the season, it's him sort of having a good look at the squad, seeing what he needs for the summer and not necessarily writing off this season, but is it sort of you looking ahead to sort of next season now, or do you still have sort of hopes that you can catch the pack sort of around the playoffs?
I think, if I'm honest, there's about 12 points between us and Sheffield United, actually. And I think it's too big of an achievement to get in the playoffs now. I think we need to use the remainder of the season for Luque to basically clear out a few players. I'm hoping that he brings in a couple, maybe even on loan this next 3 weeks or so, obviously in the January window. But it's just a bit of a trial period for Sheffield Wednesday now. I mean, don't forget, we're only 7 points above the relegation zone as well. And although I don't think Wednesday will get relegated, first and foremost, we need to get enough points to stay in this division and then build from there. So if Wednesday finish on, let's say, 60 points this season, that's great. But for us now, with the players that we've got and where we should be in the league, it's all about next season. And I think he's coming at the right time because obviously he's got about 15 games and then the summer to work out who he wants at the club, the players that he wants to bring in at the club. He wants to know about the formations that he's going to play, and that will come all within time. That's going to take, you know, six months, really. It's a long-term process to get to know everything about the club. And then, like I mentioned, we build on next season and hopefully, yeah, we can push on towards that top two next season.
Yeah, and we'll move on to you, Andy. Obviously, a sort of a trip for Derby down to Birmingham where you were playing Birmingham. Sort of talk us through the game, how it went and what were your sort of takeaways from the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously there was the added spice of Gary Rowett going back to Birmingham City. Who rather foolishly sacked him last season. And the Derby fans were obviously reminding the Birmingham fans what a big mistake they made last season. But to be quite honest, in the game earlier on, the first 20, 25 minutes, Birmingham were actually on top. And they posed quite a bit of a threat going forward. And they hit the post earlier on as well. And like we have many times this season, our defence managed to absorb all the pressure when we were, you know, coming under fire. And after that initial 20, 25 minutes, we sort of like took the initiative. I know within it, Johnny Russell scored a goal, which was, you know, there was a bit of luck about it because when he knocked the ball in, I think it got double deflected before it went past the Birmingham keeper. But into the second half, we took over. There was a few chances where Matty Vidra hit the woodwork. Tom Huddleston had a chance as well. But we went 2-0 up when Vidra had a one-on-one. He's put through, had a one-on-one with a goalkeeper, and he doesn't miss chances. You give Vidra half a chance and he'll score. And later on in the game, David Nugent had come on as a substitute, and he was through himself with the ball. And rather than be selfish, he knocked it across to Andreas Weimann to get the third, which would obviously rattle the Blue Noses up with him being an ex-Villa player. But I think this was a typical reaction from a Derby team and reflects how the season has been. When we have come under pressure, we've absorbed it and then taken the initiative as the other team have been unsuccessful in taking advantage of the chances they've had. It was also very nice as well. It was another good 3-0 away win to celebrate Gary signing a new contract. And overall, I'm not going to count any chicken. I don't count chickens, and we're not promotion. I would be very surprised if we've not now anchored ourselves into the top six. But we're now sort of like looking like a team that is going to try and anchor itself into the top two. We're 5 points clear of Bristol City, but we're only just the 2 points clear of Cardiff. And I think the next part of the plan will be to make the top two now to solidify our position in that. Very difficult in this division. All teams hit a blip. But our blips at the minute seem to be picking up an odd draw. But, it's been a very good run, and I'm having to pinch myself, if I'm being quite honest with you.
Yeah, you mentioned there that you've sort of got into the top two now. We said, I think it was last week or the week before on the podcast, that especially for me, Derby have really sort of gone under the radar this season, while teams like Wolves and Bristol City have sort of got the plaudits and the media attention from the way they've played. You don't really see sort of Derby mentioned too much. Is that sort of suiting you to go unnoticed and slowly climb up the table and not have this sort of media spotlight on you?
Yeah, I mean, I think what might have played a part in that is we've had previous seasons where when Steve McLaren came in and took us to Wembley and we narrowly missed out on going up. The following season, we missed out on the playoffs. Then where we started the season with Paul Clement and ended with Darren Bossell, again, we fell short at the semi-final stage of the playoffs. And I think a lot of people, you know, are sort of thinking, you know, Derby choke every year. But to me, if you are finishing in the top six, it's not a choke, because if you're in a playoff place, it's a lottery anyway. And we came very, very close one year. And, you know, some people just get it into their heads if you failed two or three times that it's not going to happen for you. But what people don't realise is, or they don't take into consideration, it's under different managements and not necessarily playing the same type of football. The year we failed at Wembley, I thought we were the third best team in the division. But, you know, it was one error by one of our players, which led to a downfall in a game we dominated. the capitulation under Steve McLaren the following season was evident it was going to happen from the January anyway. But I think that was off-field issues that resulted in the slide there. And then against Hull City, we'd sacked Paul Clement because the team had sort of like taken a turn for the worst in performance and results-wise. And we had an inexperienced manager in Darren Wastel coming from the academy, and he was very hit and miss. But what we've got now, we've had a... You see, Gary Rowett, although doing a good job at Burton, doing a good job at Birmingham, people have yet to see him complete a promotion. And I think people were probably, you know, the jury was still out on whether he was a sort of manager that could take the team up. But hopefully he is now going to add a promotion onto his CV and we finally get to the promised land.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, to sort of stay on Derby as well for a minute, there was quite a lot of talk, especially over last week, about Rowett potentially going to Stoke, and I saw quite a bit of it on Twitter as well. You and Jake, who hosted the podcast last season, sort of having a conversation about it. Is that sort of a massive statement of intent for you that he's now signed a new deal and sort of waived off the Premier League interest for him?
He's got Premier League interest, but it's with Derby County. It did not surprise me at all when he signed the new contract. I didn't expect him to go to Stoke City. I know, obviously, Jake was coming in from a neutral's point of view, where here's a golden opportunity to manage in the Premier League, keep a team up, and, you know, further yourself up the management rung. But you got to look at the bigger picture. I mean, for a start, Gary Rowett wanted the Derby job a long, long time before he actually got it. When he became Birmingham manager, the Derby job wasn't available. I believe when Nigel Pearson was fired, that there was interest from Derby in taking Gary Rowett from Birmingham. But obviously, at that particular time, Birmingham didn't want to let him go. I don't think he needed asking twice when he was offered the job. And the logic behind him staying at Derby rather than moving on to Stoke is Stoke could very easily be relegated. Even no matter how good a manager Gary Rowett may be, he appears to me to be the sort of manager that will take a few games. He will look at what he's got in front of him. He'll take stock. He will know how he wants them to play, which players are within that squad that are capable of playing his style of football, what he wants to see on the pitch. And then, during a transfer window, he will go out and identify players to do that. Now, he came in as our manager towards the end of last season, and we had a mixed bag of results. And that was the time where Gary Rowett would obviously be having a look at the squad overall, deciding what he wants. He then had the summer to bring in players that to fulfil the roles which, you know, he could see needed doing, and eventually shaping the team to how he wanted it to play. And we're not a one-dimensional team anymore. We can win ugly. We can play nice football. We move the ball up into the opposition half quickly. And, you know, that's the sort of manager he is. Now, had he gone to Stoke City, who were at the minute flirting with relegation, would he really have time to plan ahead to not only just scrape the, you know, scrape themselves away from the relegation zone, but to actually start to make sure that they can solidify a position within the Premier League? I think the timing would have been all wrong. If this was an appointment during the summer, maybe a manager like him would give it greater thought. But Gary Rowett clearly stated that when he signed a new contract, and the new contract was actually in negotiation before the Stoke speculation came, it just hastened things up a bit. He stated he had no interest whatsoever in the Stoke job. He's got a job to do at Derby County and he wants to take them into the Premier League. And, you know, who can blame him? Because, I mean, he does have Derby links anyway from his playing days. And he was well liked as a player. The fans took a little bit of time to get used to his style of management. But now he's got us playing, you know, playing a bit of nice football. They're really warming to him.
Yeah, just while we're on the subject of sort of Rowett and managers sort of being given time to build and sort of that kind of thing, I wanted to get Louis and Lewis's opinion sort of on this as well. Obviously, when he left Birmingham City, there was sort of quite a few eyebrows raised about, you know, why he was sacked and were he right to do it at the time. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, obviously, with the slide that Birmingham have had now. And do you think that they are going to be sort of massively regretting that given the success he's had at Derby County over the last sort of 6 to 12 months?
I certainly do, yeah. I think without question now, Rowett's proved his point, and I think that Birmingham are 100% wrong to sack Rowett when they did. Obviously, we all know where Birmingham City were when they sacked Rowett, with sixth or seventh in the league or something like that around there. And now you just have to take a look at Birmingham. And I know, you know, it's not potentially all Steve Cotterill's fault being slumped at the bottom, but it just proves that Rowett was getting the best out of those players. And all you have to do is take a look at Derby County. And I've been watching a lot of Derby County recently, and I think with each game they seem to get better and better, especially this last 2-3 months now. They play some really good, attacking, well-drilled football, and each player seems to... They're basically working as a team and know what job they've each got to do, and for example, and they're just developing as the season progresses, basically. And like I mentioned, I think they're getting better and better with every game, and because of that, I think that they will finish second this season. I can't see them probably catching Wolves, but I certainly think that Derby, like I mentioned, just improving. And now, obviously, they've got the January window. I mean, Andy will probably discuss that. I don't know if they'll bring any players in. But at the same time, I think now that they're just going to reach the potential and they'll finish second in the league. And that's probably another reason why Rowett hasn't gone to such as Stoke City. And he's signed a long-term deal, and it is a statement of intent. And I can certainly see Derby County in the Premier League next season.
Yeah, I agree with a lot what both Andy and Louis have said. When he did get the sack from Birmingham, I think it was seventh in the division, but they were actually only 3 points away from second. So the division was so tight at the time. So like seventh at the time was a brilliant position to be in. So it was really confusing, and obviously there was a lot he didn't get on with the ownership, and just ever since then, they've just been on a downhill. And even like when they got Redknapp, people thought that was going to be a fantastic appointment. But it's like one of the first podcasts of the season, I did say that Redknapp had been the first manager to get sacked, and he was. And the reason I thought that is just because of the slump what Birmingham City are currently in. And yeah, like Lewis said, it might not be Cottrell's fault, which I don't think it is. So there was really, really, really weird to get rid of Rowett at the time, and it must have been something behind closed doors. And maybe, like Andy said, he's always been after the Derby job. Maybe just he wasn't enjoying it. I know he might have been seventh in the league, but he might not have been enjoying it. But now him at Derby, he's definitely got it right. Because, like, I just look at it back at the start of the season. Don't know if Andy can remember the game, but it was the third or fourth game of the season, I believe. Derby came to the Lane, and it was 3-1. And Derby, at the start of the season, when I watched that game, I was like, wow. That does not look like the Derby County, which you think when you think of the big clubs in the Championship. And we won 3-1. Scott Carson gifted Billy Sharp a brace. And we just steamrolled through the game. And then comparing it back to a couple of weeks ago when we got a 1-1 draw, you could see how organised he had them. And we're a very possession-based team. We like to attack, and they controlled that, and they shooed us off for a lot of the game. And obviously, results, it shows how good they've been. And second in the table, I can only see them definitely finishing the top six, but definitely a contender for second.
Yeah, I agree with sort of everything you guys have said there. I think Birmingham were definitely wrong to get rid of him at the time, and he's doing a fantastic job at Derby now. So hopefully for you, Andy, he carries that on and you do get promoted this season. But sort of moving on to Preston, just to cover the game yesterday quickly, we had a trip down to the capital to Millwall, which sort of, judging where they are in the table, you'd think it's a game that Preston should probably win, but Millwall has really turned their home ground into a bit of a fortress this season. So to come away with a point, you know, it wasn't the worst result considering sort of all the teams around us dropped points as well. So we dropped, I think it was 2 places in the league, but we've actually gained a point on the playoffs. So it leaves us 2 points outside the playoffs now, which sort of, looking back at the draw, you know, if we'd have won, we'd be level with sixth, just outside on goal difference. You know, a point to point, that point could sort of, especially with how tight it is around at the moment, I think between sort of six and Ipswich in 12th, there's only 4 points separating. So, you know, a point at the end of the season could be crucial sort of one way or another. So not too downbeat about it. We played some good football again, you know, which we've come to do sort of this season under Alex Neil. It's been fantastic to watch, really. I thought Callum Robinson played well. He's really sort of taken his chance when he's been given it. Sort of a couple of weeks ago, I said that he was sort of chomping at the bit, really, to get a chance, and he'd probably take it like he has done. So delighted for him. Got the goal yesterday. Not sure what part of his body it hit. He took it across. I think it ended up coming off his chest, or certainly his hip, sort of that area. So doesn't matter how they go in, they all count the same. So yeah, delighted for him. The game unbeaten, and we have, which I'll cover later, Birmingham at home next weekend, which, you know, fingers crossed, we should pick up all 3 points there, and, you know, we're really then in the running for the playoffs. But just sort of to get your guys' sort of thoughts and reactions, really. Obviously, a bit different for you, Andy, having the game at United and getting beat, but it was the FA Cup draw on Monday. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on, sort of, are you happy with the ties, and sort of how do you see or view the FA Cup this season for our teams? Is it a case of it's a bit of a distraction, say in the case of Sheffield United trying to sustain a playoff push, or, you know, is it a welcome break from league football? We'll start with you first on this one, Louis. Sort of looking at yours, if you get past Carlisle in the replay, you've got Stevenage or Reading. Were you happy with the draw, and sort of what have you made of it so far this season?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because obviously we're going through that transitional period now with a new manager. And the worst thing that could happen was, like you've just mentioned, we've got to play Carlisle in a replay. And to be honest, when we played Carlisle last week, it'd have probably been better if obviously we would have won or even lost. However, now we have got the new manager in, we do play Carlisle on Tuesday night. But I think he can, you know, I'm not expecting Sheffield Wednesday to go and win the cup by any means, but it would be nice to see us go on now probably a bit of a cup run, because we're potentially not going to do anything in the league. So if we can, you know, for example, get to halfway in the league and finish there this season, and, you know, if you know, see if we can get to a quarter final of the FA Cup or, you know, something like that, then it'd be quite decent for a Wednesday fan's perspective, because up to now this season's come to nothing. But the good thing about the Cup, last week I'd have probably said we'd have been better off out of it, but now we've got the new manager, it's given a bit of scope to use the Cup of a bit of a trial and error period, testing new players, like I mentioned earlier, and new formations. And, you know, obviously he's already tested a 5-3-2 away from home at United in the league. Obviously he can tell them that works away from home. But like I mentioned, if we've got Stevenage and Reading, and they're both winnable games. Like obviously with the first hurdles getting past Carlisle, again, we should be winning that on Tuesday night. If we can get past them, again, we should be winning against Stevenage or Reading. However, like I say, it'd be nice for him to try out a few of the youngsters, see potentially what they can do. But all in all, I'm not really fussed what we do in the Cup this season. Everything now with the new manager coming is going to be based on maintaining a decent Championship League spot this season, and then everything turns on to next season and where we can reach and what we can achieve next year. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have a little cup run, and we've got the potential to do so because we've got a couple of winnable games. But all in all, I'm not fussed either way what we do. It'd be nice, like I mentioned, just a couple of youngsters to be played and see, you know, if they can prove their worth. But I'm not expecting anything more than, you know, winning next couple of games, to be honest, and we'll probably get knocked out once we play a Premier League team. So we'll see from there.
Yeah, and the same to you, Lewis. You've actually been drawn against us. So how was sort of the draw for you? Are you happy with the draw that you've got? I know sort of from my point of view, I was looking for a Premier League team or sort of a lower league team at home so you can get through to the next round. It's always gutting when you wait for the draw and end up getting drawn against a team, similar place like in the league to you, that you're already going to play twice in the season anyway. So a bit disappointed from my point of view, even though my brother's at uni in Sheffield, so it'll be a good opportunity to go over there and sort of catch up with him. But how did you see the draw, and what are your expectations for your sort of FA Cup run this season?
Yeah, I guarantee we have the identical look into the game. I don't know if you actually watched the draw, but in the last six teams, there was, I'm sure there was Tottenham and Chelsea.
Yeah, Newcastle as well. Yep.
Yeah, Newcastle as well. So you've got three big ties in there, which we're sat anticipating, thinking, yes, an away day to Wembley. But no, obviously, we ended up drawing the last two at a Championship club, which is in the exact same road as us. But yeah, it's just a refreshing fixture. It'll just be a game where, I'm sure, as Preston will be doing as well, you can put out a few first experienced teamers and then chuck in 2, 3, 4, 5 youngsters or players who are on the brink of team, maybe had a few sub appearances, but maybe deserved of a start. So, like in the last game, what we had Ipswich, so a very similar fixture. We chucked in a few of the fringe players and a few youngsters, and some of them did really well. So it'll just be a case of trying out something new, trying out a new formation to see if it'd work in the league. And it's a winnable game for each of us. You can't really predict it. So yeah, if we get into the next round, very nice. But I'm not expecting anything. It'll just be nice to get into the next round. But I'm not too fussed either way.
Yeah. Completely agree with you there. It was sort of the same with us when we had Wickham the other weekend. We played sort of more of the people who, as you say, are deserving of a start that have been on the bench. So it was a good opportunity for them. As I mentioned earlier, Callum Robinson played up top on his own that game, where he's normally a winger. So it was a good chance for him, and he took his chance. You know, a few of the other guys as well who'd been on the bench, came in and played well, and it sort of shows that we've got that good squad depth this season, which we haven't really had in sort of previous years. So it'll be a good opportunity again for them to further stake a claim to get into the starting 11. So looking forward to it. And as you said, it's almost sort of a free game, really, you know, try out a few different things, rest a few players. So should be a good day anyway. And, you know, potentially then you get into the fifth round when it tends to be the bigger teams left. So there's always the possibility then of getting a sort of a bigger team in the draw. Certainly last season for us, we ended up getting Arsenal at home, which to this day, I still don't know how we didn't win the game. Got beat in the last minute, which was gutting really, because I would have loved a trip down to the Emirates with Preston, but, you know, wasn't to be. So fingers crossed this year. You know, it's, as you said, impossible to call really. Should be a good game, and if we get through, we get through. If we get knocked out, we can focus on the league and sort of carrying on towards the playoffs. Just sort of to touch on Derby as well, Andy, obviously you had Man United, you've already sort of had your sort of big draw for the Cup this year. I think sort of looking at the team, I noticed there were a few changes made. Was that sort of with the league in mind that a few changes were made?
Possibly so. To be quite honest, with the exception of we brought Alex Pearson for Curtis Davis and gave him a rest. Gary Rowett made five changes. The players that came in actually did pretty well, to be honest. Marcus Olsen, who came in at the left-back position, I thought had quite a good game. Obviously, you'd love to beat Man United, everybody would. But I wasn't upset about the performance either. We held them out to about the 83rd minute, and it's quite ironic that a former Derby loanee, Jesse Lingard, scored a cracking goal to give them the lead. I'd love to have beaten them, but I'm not over upset about going out either. Especially, you know, with some of the chasing pack are still in the cup, and it can prove to be a bit of a distraction. But, you know, the clash on through, United put a very strong side out. We didn't disgrace ourselves, but, you know, it was evident which side were a side near the top of the Premier League. But when the fourth round comes, that will give us a week off. So if we've got any players carrying any knocks, it'll give them a bit of extra time to get back up to full fitness. But, you know, I enjoy the FA Cup. And I give full credit to Manchester United for putting out a good team there. Unlike is it Arsenal, who made massive changes and went down to our rivals across the A52. And to me, they just showed, you know, a bit of disrespect to the oldest competition in the world, which unfortunately hasn't got the glamour of what it used to have. But overall, you know, proud of the lads for the effort that they put in on Friday night. Obviously, would have taken the win against Manchester United and up a few of the Manchester United TV fans. But not over upset about going out either, because I really, really do think we need to be concentrating on the league.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there in regards to sort of resting players sort of from United's point of view. You know, you just look at Arsenal and what they did in the third round or didn't do, sort of as the case may be. So it was credit to United, but also sort of a show of respect to Derby, I think, that they played sort of one of their strongest teams and didn't take you too lightly as sort of a championship team, which, you know, Premier League managers have done in the past and been caught out by. But sort of moving on to next weekend's games, obviously there's a couple of FA Cup replays in the week, but sort of the main focus sort of really is on the league. Start you first, Lewis, on this. You've got Norwich away next weekend. Sort of, how do you see the game going, and what are your expectations and score predictions for it?
I'm actually really not looking forward to this game, because Norwich at home, was one of the most frustrating games of football to watch that I've ever had to watch, probably in the 10 plus years I've been watching the Blades. Daniel Falk set out Norwich. They got an early goal. I think it was like 15th minute with that Yannick Wilshere, who's just gone to Cardiff. And then for the remaining 85 minutes or 75 minutes, whatever, they stuck 10 men behind the ball, frustrated the living life out of the players, and just nothing went our way. There was just not a single bit of luck getting thrown our way. And we ended up losing the game. So going to Carrow Road, I don't know what it's like. I've never been before. But I just hope it's nothing like that game previously. But how I think we should set up, I think Wilder may stick with what he knows, but I do really now think after not winning, after only winning one game in 10, we need to spark up things and we need to change the formation. Maybe move back to a four at the back. We've got our business done really early. We've already brought in three new signings: Lee Evans from Wolves, who's been at Wigan; James Wilson, who came on in the derby again from Manchester United; and we've got Ryan Leonard from Southend. Three players which are all going to be fighting for a place in a first team. And I suspect we'll be signing Ricky Holmes tomorrow, which is when the podcast will come out, from Charlton. So we've possibly got four new players which we can throw straight into the deep end, possibly give them a start. But it's just giving the team a bit more freshness. And it now gives us that ability to maybe play wingers instead of fullbacks. And I'm not sure what we're going to do with the strike force, because obviously we do have Wilson. We've got Clark has really been hit and miss this season. Obviously, he's the leading goal scorer alongside Vidra, but he gets caught out of games a lot, and he's the man in form, so you can't really afford to drop him. But maybe we do need to give another striker a chance. Maybe Billy Sharp. He just hasn't been getting into the side of the past couple of games, but I honestly don't know why, because he works his absolute socks off and he gets into those positions, and he would be up there in the goal scoring charts, I think, if he'd played as many minutes as our other players. So yeah, hopefully we can go in with a different formation and properly push for a win, because I think it's make or break for whether we get playoffs or not. Norwich are up there. They're going to be battlers, and it's the classic cliche six-pointer. If we lose, we're just going to carry on dropping further down the table, and this bad run of form needs to stop. And I think if it doesn't happen at Norwich, then it might not happen and we might just continue to drop down the table.
Yeah, and to move on to you, Louis, you've got a sort of a difficult-looking home game against Cardiff. Obviously, they're sort of in the top three at the moment. So, Andy, I'd probably love you to do them a favour. How do you see the game going, and what would be your sort of predictions for the game as well?
Again, it's difficult to predict because, obviously, it's a new era for us. And like the game against Sheffield United, I didn't know what formation he was going to play, the players he was going to play, and ultimately the result. So again, like I mentioned, it's a new era. The main thing for us is getting our best players back from injury, and that's going to take another, you know, couple of weeks to a month for all the major ones to return. But obviously, it's Neil Warnock coming to Hillsborough with Cardiff, and you know, you all know about the history there between the manager and the club. Now, Cardiff have had a dip in form recently, obviously, didn't they, the last 3 weeks or so, but then they went on and beat Sunderland so convincingly, 4-0 in the last fixture, and they probably could have scored more. I've watched the highlights back from that, and they look really, really good. I know Sunderland are obviously near the bottom of the league, but it was just one-way traffic. And I like Cardiff are playing really well this season as a team. They play, you know, really well as a unit, and they've got a good togetherness. So to be honest, I'll probably be happy again with another point in this fixture because, like I say, I don't know what to expect from Sheffield Wednesday. Like I said, it's a transitional period. It's a new era. Be great to get the 3 points. If I was going to predict a result, I probably would say 1-1. It'd be nice for us to score a goal. Like I said, I think it's 4 games now where we've not scored. I'm just going to predict a 1-1 draw and then see. I'm just more interested to see what team and what formation he's going to play, and that'll give us kind of an insight to what sort of team he's going to play going forward for the remainder of the season. But yeah, I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw for this one.
Yeah, and finally to you, Andy. You've got a game in front of the Sky cameras on Friday night against sort of a team very similarly placed to you in the league at the moment, Bristol City. How do you sort of see the game going, and what would be your predictions for the game?
Well, hopefully a win. If we can manage to win, we'd pull 8 points clear of them. And if Louis can get Sheffield Wednesday to do the business against Cardiff, and we win, that will pull us 5 points clear of Cardiff. Sadly, it doesn't always work out like that. I think Cardiff will draw at Sheffield Wednesday. So it's down to us. I think the game against Bristol City will be very tight. Lewis mentioned earlier, we've been pumping at Sheffield United early in the season, and we fought out a closer 1-1 draw when they returned a couple of weeks ago. We went away at Bristol City earlier on in the season. Despite going 1-0 up, we got hammered 4-1. But they seem to have gone off the boil a little bit lately. But as we all know, all teams usually have a blip somewhere. My concern would be not to lose the game. If we don't lose the game, we'll still be in second place. It's just the whether at the end of the weekend it's going to be on goal difference or a clear points difference. Possibly, I could see us winning this one 1-0. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a draw. In fact, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Bristol City nicked it. I just hope that they won't nick it. But my gut feeling is a one-goal victory, and hopefully Sheffield Wednesday can get something against Cardiff, and we can open up a gap against both teams, or in fact stretch the gap a little bit longer. But there you go.
Yeah, and just sort of finally to cover Preston's game next weekend, we've got a home game against Birmingham City, so sort of form would suggest that it should be quite a comfortable win for us, and that's what I'd sort of predict it to be. We've been quite good at home sort of this season, with the exception of the defeat to Middlesbrough the other week. But even then, in that game, you know, I still don't know how we lost the game. We were absolutely fantastic at that game. It's probably one of the best we've played all season, really. Just a shame we conceded sort of a couple of soft goals and then, you know, couldn't manage to sort of get a draw or push on and get a win. But yeah, I'd predict that we should win it quite comfortably. Obviously, Birmingham, we all know how badly they're doing this season. And you know, if we want to be keeping up with the chasing pack for the playoffs, we need to be winning our home games, especially against the team in the relegation zone as well. So, should be a good game. You know, hopefully we get the win, and it'll be a good opportunity as well for sort of some players who you know are getting game time now to, as I said earlier, further stake a claim. Darnell Fisher hopefully should be back as well. Our right back, I think he was just a little bit too short for the Millwall game on fitness. So hopefully he's back, and you know that shores up the defence a little bit more as well. So you know it's a good time to be a Preston fan at the moment, and it still feels weird this season, sort of been so positive most weeks on the podcast, with the exception of the bad November that we had where we didn't win a game. It's been, you know, quite a good season so far. So fingers crossed that carries on at home next weekend, and I'm sure the lads will be giving it their all to try and keep up with the chasing pack of the playoffs. But with that, we're out of time. If you guys want to let everyone know where they can find you or any projects that you're involved in, now would be a good time.
So my name's Louis Shackshaft. I represent Sheffield Wednesday on the podcast. I do a lot of writing, blogging, Sheffield Wednesday statistics. So you can visit my website, which is my name, louisshackshaft.com, or it's the same on Twitter, at louisshackshaft. And I'm potentially going to start doing some writing for Vital Wednesday, so you can check that out in the future.
Yeah, I'm Lewis Hobbs, and I've represented Sheffield United on the podcast, and you can follow my Twitter at _LH9_, where I talk and write all things Blades.
Andy Buckley-Taylor, representing Derby County on the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at BuckTaylor64, and I have a column on the website of the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I'm James Vickers. You can get me on my Twitter, which is at _JamesVickers, where I'm mainly tweeting about Preston North End, but also quite a bit of German football as well. So if you do sort of enjoy either of those, definitely give me a follow. And you can also follow us on the show at Championship Pod on Twitter as well, where there's weekly polls and other bits and pieces to get involved with. So definitely check that out. The link to the podcast and any other things that any of the guys are involved in as well are always shared on there. So yeah, definitely check it out. Well, cheers for joining me today, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.